I will tell you this morning, I had a different sermon that I was going to preach. I had planned to preach up until Thursday night, but Thursday night we had our senior saints meeting, had a wonderful time. It just seems like the Lord just brought everything together, the song and the devotion, and just the Spirit of the Lord met with us here on Thursday night, just like He meets with us here on Sunday. And I felt compelled after Thursday night to change my message this morning. In Numbers chapter 16, it records a tragic event in the life of the people of God. God had chosen Moses to lead His people, and Aaron was his helper. You remember when God called Moses, one of Moses' excuse for not wanting to do what God wanted him to do, he says, I just can't talk plain. And God said, well, that's all right. I'll talk to you. You talk to Aaron, and Aaron can talk to the people. And if you go back and you read the book of Exodus and you read the book of Numbers, and you do it with an open heart and an open mind, you'll come away with no doubt in your mind that Moses was the leader that God had chosen for His people. I mean, you can't help but come away with that conclusion as you read the account in those two books. Well, in Numbers chapter 16, it tells a story of a man called Korah. He was of the tribe of Levi. He was one that had responsibilities in the temple. He was part of the tribe that God had chosen, the tribe of Levi, to be priest and to do other things in the temple. But it wasn't enough for Korah. He wanted more. And so he gathered 250 princes, and together they challenged the authority of Moses and Aaron. In verse 3 of that chapter, it says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." What they were saying is, hey, we're all holy. God can use, and God's with all of us. Why do you lift yourselves up? We can be leaders just like you are leaders. We can lead God's people just like you have led God's people. And it's not the main point of my message this morning. I'll just sort of throw it in for nothing. God doesn't care much for people that messes with His leaders. This crack that was made about hot air a moment ago. And I know Adam's in the other room, but when he does the CDs, he'll hear this. You shouldn't mess with God's leaders. And I'm glad, by the way, I am so glad that we have a church that respects the office of pastor. It ought always to be that way, regardless of who the pastor is. But anyhow, after these people rose up against Moses and Aaron, God comes to him and He says, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment." And Moses and Aaron, as they often had to do, fell on their face before God and said, "God, please don't be angry with everybody. It's just this man and these men that have sinned." And there were basically these 250 princes, Korah and his family, and there were two other men and their families, a man by the name of Dathan and a man by the name of Abiram. Now, they were of the tribe of Judah, and they stood by Korah. And Moses came and said, "Now look, if these men die the common death of every man, then you'll know that the Lord hasn't chosen Aaron and I. But if the Lord does something different to these men, if the Lord opens up the earth and swallows them down to the pit, then you'll know that that God has chosen us." And that's exactly what happened. God gave the people warning. I mean, Moses gave the people warning. He said, "Get away from the tents of Korah." Everybody got away except for these two men and their families. And God did exactly what Moses said He was going to do. He opened up the earth and swallowed those men and their families down into the pit. Then the Bible says the people rose up and killed the other 250 of the princes that had joined up with Korah. And when we started reading in verse 41, we read what happens the next day. But on the morrow, all the congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron and said, "You have killed the people of the Lord. You've killed the people of the Lord." Well, God hates complaining. And so when these people started murmuring against Moses and Aaron, he said one more time, "Get away from them. I'm just going to kill them all. I'll start over with you, Moses, and with you, Aaron. But just get away from the people, because my wrath is going to come on them." And so Moses and Aaron again fell on their faces and they prayed, but God sent his judgment. He sent a plague. People started dying, and Moses said to Aaron, he said, "Aaron, hurry up. Go get a censer," which was a little ladle or a small shovel that they used to carry live coals in. He says, go get a coal from off the altar, pour some incense into it, go out among the people and stop the plague. And verse 48 is our text verse this morning, where Aaron did that, and the Bible says, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague were stayed." I want you to get the picture this morning. Here's Aaron holding this little shovel. He's got a coal from off the altar where they offered the sacrifices to God. He poured some incense on it. He had run out into the middle of the congregation. On one side of him lay a bunch of dead bodies. The Bible says before he got there, there were 14,700 people killed by God. And on one side of him lay all these corpses, all these dead bodies. On the other side of him stood the living, those that he had saved from the plague. So on one side lay all the dead dads, the dead moms, the dead grandpas and the dead grandmas, the dead little boys and the dead little girls, the dead little babies. The judgment of God is no respecter of age. There were all ages that were on that died in the plague. On the dead side were the rich, were the poor. The judgment of God has no respect for economic standing. It did not matter how much money they had or how little they had. When the plague came, they died. On the dead side were not only elders and judges and Levites and soldiers, but there were dead lepers. There were dead outcasts from the camp. Because the judgment of God is no respect of social standing. There were dead good people, and there were dead bad people. The judgment of God has no respect for how people live their lives. And so on Aaron's one side lay the bodies of 14,700 people. I'm sure there were families separated that day. I'm sure there were dead wives and live husbands that were on this side of Aaron. I'm sure there were dead children and live parents, or dead parents and live children. There were friends that were separated. You see, the judgment of God has no respect for relationships. Some were dead, some were alive in the same family. And Aaron, as he stood there between the dead and the living, paints a picture for us this morning. It paints a picture of every single Christian. Because you see, my friend, every single Christian stands on the same ground that Aaron stood. Every single Christian stands on the same spot that Aaron stood. We stand as Aaron did between the living and the dead. Now, I have a bonus for you this morning. I not only have 3 points, I have 7. I got a little extra time this morning. I'm going to use it all. Aaron's here. Here they are. Number one, you can keep track of how close I am to getting close to done. Number one, Aaron stood between the living and the dead. On one side of him was the dead, on the other side was the living. The only thing that stopped the living from dying was Aaron. I mean, I can just see him as he runs out to the middle of the crowd. I can just see him as he passes all these dead bodies. It takes a lot of ground for 14,700 people to die. I mean, he's got to cover a great distance to get out to where the plague was killing people. I think it ran over the people like a wave. I think he had to run to catch up to it. I think when he got to the head of it, he stood there between all of those that died and all of those that were still alive. In the same way, we as Christians stand between the living and the dead. There are people in our life that are alive because they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But there are people in our life that are dying on their way to hell because they've never come in contact, they've never received the Son of God as their personal Savior. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we as Christians have the responsibility to stand between those two groups of people so that the dead can become alive. So those that are dead in their sins won't die and go into an eternity that's Christless, won't go into an eternity separated from God forever and ever. The only thing that stops the living from dying an eternal death is a Christian with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the light of the world, with the door that opens to everyone, with the good news that Jesus died to pay for sins and that he will justify the sinner. Aaron stood in the gap. On one side were the dead, on the other side were the living. And in the same way, we stand between the living and the dead. Second thing I want you to notice this morning is that Aaron stood by himself. His sons were also priests. There were other people in his family that worked in the temple, in the synagogue that Moses had built. But it was just Aaron. There was none of his sons. There was none other of the Levites. Moses wasn't there. I mean, it was just Aaron by himself. Now, here's my point in saying that. There are some people in our life where we get to work together to bring them to Jesus Christ. There are some people in our life where you as a parent and maybe grandparents and maybe friends and maybe a Sunday school teacher and maybe a preacher can work together to put that person and help them realize that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, to help that person understand that God loves them, to help that person understand that God died for them, to help that person come to the realization if they don't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are going to go into an eternity apart from God and have no chance to get back to God, their Creator. And there are some people in our lives that God has put a community around to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you this. I also believe there are people in our life that the only name they have on theirs, the only person that can keep them from hell, is you or I. It's not a community. It's not a pastor and a Sunday school teacher and a parent and a grandparent. It's just one person. Just one person that stands between their life in heaven and their life in hell. That stands between eternal life and eternal death. Just one person that God has put in that person's life to make the difference between where they spend eternity. Now, I'm glad that God lets us work together on certain people. But I realize that there are people that I will come across that if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, if I don't share the gospel, if I don't give a Christian testimony, if I don't talk to them about their soul, if I don't do it, they will die and they will go to hell forever and ever and ever. Aaron was one person, just one person, and he made the difference between the living and the dead. Number three, Aaron stood. That verse says he stood between the living and the dead. Moses says, Aaron, quick, get a censer, go to the altar, get a coal, put it in the censer, pour some incense onto it, run out to the crowd. The plague has already started. People had already started dying. Aaron, quick, do it now. What if Aaron had said, well, Moses, I don't feel very good today. Or these people haven't treated me very nice. They've been mean to me. Or I got a headache. Or I got a toothache. Or my ear hurts. Or I got bursitis. Or I got a bunion. Aaron could have used all sorts of excuses. He could have used all sorts of reasons and said, no, I can't go, Moses. I can't take that censer. I can't take the coal. I can't take the incense. I can't go. I can't stand in the path of this plague. Let me ask you this morning, what stops us from telling people about Jesus? Many, many times it's just because it's inconvenient. We haven't got time. We're too busy doing other things. We need to realize, just like Aaron did, he was making the difference between life and death. We have the key that makes the difference between life and death. What stops us? What stops us? I believe God brings people across our path every day that need Jesus Christ. I believe God brings men and women and boys and girls, and he has them cross paths with us on a daily basis. He wants somebody to give them the gospel, somebody to give them a tract, somebody to tell them about Jesus. And so many times we have so many excuses that we walk right by those opportunities. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, because I know there's no tears in heaven. But sometimes I picture in my mind being in heaven and looking into hell and seeing somebody looking right at me, right in the eyes, and telling me, hey, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? I came across your path one day. I was hungry for the gospel. I wanted to know Christ. I wanted to get my eternity settled. But you walked away. You didn't even talk to me. You didn't even notice that I was there. And again, I don't know if it's going to happen. I pray that it doesn't, because I don't know that I could take it. I don't know that heaven would be heaven if I understood that there was somebody in hell because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Aaron stood alone, and he stood, and we need to stand and share Jesus Christ with others. Number four, I would point out to you that Aaron was prepared to stand. He'd been anointed a priest. The anointing oil had been poured over his head. Perhaps on this occasion, he had his robe on. He had the mitre that was on his head. The robe had bells and pomegranates at the bottom. Perhaps he had that the sash on that held it all together. He knew how to scoop coals off the altar because he had done it before. He knew how to pour incense on those coals because he'd done it before. He was prepared to stand before the living and the dead. And I ask myself this morning, as I ask you, how prepared are we to stand on that same spot? How prepared are we to stand before the living and the dead? How much time have we spent in this book this week? How much time have we spent down on our knees this week praying for those that are lost? The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How much time have we spent this week weeping, thinking about people that are dying and going to hell? The Bible says, they're all around us. They're all around us. How do we expect to stand between the living and dead if our heart is not broken for them? If we don't realize that eternity's at stake. Do you know how to lead somebody to Christ? I mean, do you know the Romans road? Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, but God commendeth his love, or 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can memorize those verses just as well as I can. And again, it's good that you know them. But you know what? Every single one of us ought not to be a time in our life when we don't have a track in our pocket. A little piece of paper that has those verses or other verses that we could give to a person and say, hey, I'd like you to read this. This will tell you how to get right with God. This will tell you how to get to heaven. This will tell you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. We need to be prepared. Number five, it was Aaron's job. He was a priest. He was the go-between between God and man. He did it every day. That's what he did. He went between God and man. I want to tell you something this morning. It's our job too. Jesus said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's our job. That's the reason God has left us here on this earth, to tell people about Christ. Number six, the plague stayed. Death stopped. Again, I can picture it in my mind. I can picture it in my mind as a wave that washes over the people. As it passes, they just fall down dead. It wasn't a process of dying, they just died. They were dead. I can see Aaron running through the camp. I can see Aaron getting ahead of that wave. And when he got there with the censer, it stopped. Death stopped. Death stopped. I'll remind you this morning that eternal death can be stopped. Damnation can be stopped. Eternal death can be stopped. We can keep people out of hell. We can keep people out of the fire. We can keep people out of the bottomless pit. We can keep people out of the darkness. And then number seven, and this is probably the most important one of all, it wasn't Aaron. It wasn't Aaron. You see, that coal that the incense was on came from the altar. The altar where they offered the sacrifice. It wasn't Aaron. It was the Lamb. It wasn't the man. It was God. It was God. You see, Aaron was just a messenger. Aaron was just the delivery boy. Aaron was just the one who God had charged, you take what will stop the plague, you take it to the people. You get it to the people. My point this morning has been that we can make the difference between life and death, that we can stand between the living and the dead, but it's not us. It's the Lamb. It's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We're just the messenger. We're just the delivery boy. Our responsibility is to take that message that everybody's a sinner, that Jesus loves sinners, that Jesus died for sinners, that if sinners will come to Christ and ask him to save them, he'll for sure do it. Our job is to just take that messenger to the dead, to those that are dead in their trespasses and sins. And by the way, they're all around us. They're in our families. Linda was telling me this morning, where's Linda Tabor? In the nursery. Linda was telling me this morning that she won her sister to Christ this weekend. Won her sister to the Lord. She was so happy. I'm sure she's still hurting, but it didn't matter if she was hurting or not. She was rejoicing because her sister came to know Jesus Christ. The people that need Jesus, they're in our families. They live next door to us. I was talking to my neighbor across the front fence. I was cutting my grass on Friday afternoon. My neighbor was out. And we talked a little bit. And he seemed more open to things on Friday. So I asked him, I said, hey, do you guys go to church anywhere? He said, well, why do you want to know? I said, well, I just like to know if you go to church anywhere. I believe in eternity. And I believe that people that die without Christ go to an eternity without him and stay there forever. He said, so do I. And I know Jesus as my Savior. I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But they're all around us. Our neighbors, our family, the people we work with. And I believe this. I believe that if we look every day, God will bring somebody across our path that needs Jesus. And again, it's not us. It's not us. It's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. It's the Lamb of God that died for the sin of every person. And our job is to be a messenger and take him to those that need him. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And the answer that they gave that man hundreds of years ago is still the answer that works today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you've never done that, I have a message for you this morning. The message is, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. It's a decision that you have to make. But you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. Jesus paid that penalty for you. And if you'll come and ask him, he'll save you. He said, if you come to me, I'll in no wise turn any person away, and he will not. If you come, he will save you. So I challenge you this morning. I beg you this morning, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you come to him this morning. Most of us here are Christians. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have heaven to look forward to. But you know what? There's people all around us that need what we have. Our job, our responsibility, and our privilege is to take the Lamb of God to those people and stand between eternal life and eternal death. Eternal life in heaven, eternal death in hell. And I can't think of any person this morning that I dislike enough to want them to go to hell. Not one person. And I know God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. We need to tell him. We need to tell him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these stories in the Old Testament that still have application to our life today. Thank you for this picture of the responsibility that you've given us to stand between the living and the dead in our day. And I pray that we'll stand. I pray we'll get ready. I pray that we'll stand. And Father, we'll look for every opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Use us, Father, use us. We give ourselves to you. We want to be used in this way. Use us. Please use us. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that this morning they would come to him. Help them to see their sin, the penalty of their sin. Help them to come to the Savior. I pray again, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to Christians. If there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, help us to get rid of it this morning. Help us to be what you want us to be. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.